This is the Mile High Five podcast with Carl Jensen and Doug Cunnington. We have authentic conversations about the journey to Phi, health, happiness, and some very odd tangents. We interview Phi experts, side hustlers, people on their way to Phi, and those who have reached the other side. Join us every week, and if you want the show notes and links and all that other stuff, head over to milehighfi.com.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Mile High Phi podcast. I'm Carl Jensen with my co-host.
I'm Doug Cunnington.
Doug, so we've been on a sort of a summer break. We haven't seen each other in ages. Today, we're going to catch up a little bit. We're going to talk about road trips, a timeshare presentation, how getting old leads to tweaked backs. Uh-oh, Doug. And the current state of the stock market since we are supposed to talk about money. Is this supposed to be a money podcast?
Sometimes I think I really enjoy these episodes because it's pretty regular. We're like around each other a ton, and then like we don't see each other for like almost a month, I think, at this point. So it's like, oh, we have stories to tell. And honestly, I don't think we'd call each other up on the phone and tell stories back and forth. We've never done it before.
No, I don't think so. I'm not a phone type of person. It's not just you, Doug. I don't even call my own mom.
But in this case, it's like we can catch up. It's like talking on the phone and other people listen to it. So I love these.
Yeah, cool.
All right. So we just have like bullet points to catch up on. I think we'll probably hit all the things that we talked about in the intro, but who knows? Who knows? All right. So you just got back in town and I'm curious. I'm going to kick it off to you. And I want to hear about your road trip.
Ooh, so our kid had a conference in Bloomington, and we decided to make a road trip about it. But one thing about the road trip is it was pretty Phi-centric, and I'll explain what that means. We started out by dropping my daughter off in Bloomington, Indiana, for her conference. That was Best Buddies. Then we headed down to, I can never say this word right. Maybe, Doug, you can say it. Louisville. Do you know how they pronounce that in Kentucky?
Yeah, I think you got it. Louisville. I think you kind of rush it. Let your tongue go limp, you know, in the middle of it.
Louisville. Huh?
Yeah.
I struggle with pronouncing some words. And the odd thing was, like, I cannot roll my R's, but there was one time where I had a couple beers and I was able to roll my R's. So maybe alcohol is the answer. So if I get drunk, I could pronounce Louisville or Louisville, however you're supposed to say it.
Limper.
Anyway, we went down to that town that starts with an L, and we saw Eric Cooper. Do you remember Eric from different Phi events?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Eric Cooper's a great guy. We call him Mr. 72T because he loves to talk about 72Ts, which are a way to access retirement funds earlier. While we were there, we met up with the local Choose Phi group. We also went to bourbon tasting, and what else did we do? We went for a real nice hike when we were there.
Nice. Did you get a hop around? We always talk about that.
Oh, geez, I completely forgot. I think, were you the one who mentioned I needed to get that? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I guess I got to go back there.
Yeah, it's a good town, though.
It looked good, too. Like a hot brown sandwich looked excellent. Are they as good as it looks?
You know what? I haven't had one. I don't know. I've only been there one. I've driven through like 50 times, but I've only actually stayed once. So, no, we'll have to make it a trip.
Okay. After Louisville, however you say that, we stopped in Indianapolis to have lunch with a friend who I also know through my blog, 1500 Days. Hello, Dan, if you're listening. After that, we went to Northern Michigan to visit the Physician on Fire, who was on a previous podcast. We should have looked this up ahead of time. We will put that in the show notes. And that was super nice. He just built a beautiful home up there. It was super good catching up with him, and it's nice and cool up there, so I really appreciated the weather. And they're pretty close to a bunch of water, which is nice too. We lack water here in Colorado. We've got a couple lakes and stuff, but they're small, or you have to drive a long time to get there. After that, we took the ferry across Lake Michigan and met up with the Choose Phi group in Madison, Wisconsin, stayed there for a couple nights, and then drove home. So everywhere we went, it was either meeting up or staying with someone we met from the Phi community. So I guess I'm fully ingratiated at this point.
How many days were you guys gone?
Man, it was like, about 2 weeks, I think.
Okay. Pretty fun. You guys covered a lot of ground.
It was fun, but it gets old too. Mindy and I were talking. I think we're going to mostly stay home in 2025. I like being on the road. I like seeing these people, but the issue is back to the sleeping thing, which we talked about in the soundtrack, is sometimes you'll go to an Airbnb and I'm accustomed to a king size bed because I need my body pillow and Mindy does too. And she moves around a lot and so do I. So you'll have a small bed and then it won't be comfortable or the temperature won't be right. So as fun as these trips are, a lot of times I don't sleep well during them and that builds up and becomes tedious. It's also very difficult to work out, which is another bullet point that I'll get to in a moment. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, but I think in 2025, we're going to stay home more. And like this year, we still have a lot of trips. You and I have our Breck trip. I'm going to Stuttgart and then Cancun. And then we have FinCon as well. So lots of stuff going on. I am looking forward to it, but it wouldn't be bad if we were just staying home as well.
Right. I throttled down this year. And I didn't do nearly as much travel as you have like in the last couple of years. But I think we figured out like we either like maybe long weekendish sort of length, maybe like 3 to 5 days, depending on travel time and stuff like that, or slow travel. So we don't know, but we might spend like a month in San Diego or something like that in the wintertime. And that way, like I could bring my chili pad. I can like kind of get into a routine and you don't have to like, you know, change locations and spend so much time on the road. So it's either like a little bit shorter, but yeah, 2 weeks is tough, especially when you're like in a new place, like every couple of days, right? Like you probably only stayed somewhere for 2 or 3 nights max.
Yes, exactly.
And it's so stressful to just like, you got to pack up and do blah, blah, blah. And then you just want to get home, right?
Yep. Yep. And especially with kids, like I can be ready to go in about 5 minutes. Then it takes for some reason an hour and a half. I'm like, okay, just take your things, put them in the suitcase, put the suitcase in the car and let's go. And for some reason that takes like 90 minutes.
Oh yeah. And we talked before, like we have like the go bag sort of plan. So Elizabeth and I'll like put our like 1 day, the only thing we need to get out at hotel. So we don't have to unload the whole car. It's just like small bag. That's it. Maybe, you know, the laptops or something.
Nice. If you offer lessons or have a course, please come over and teach my kids about this. We actually have the same thing, but it still ends up taking 90 minutes.
Yeah. It's just, you don't need as much stuff as you think.
Yeah. So Doug, one real quick follow-up for you on my bullet point here. Do you enjoy going to new places or do you enjoy returning to places you've been before? Because you just mentioned San Diego and I know you and Elizabeth have spent time there.
I like them both. So, and Elizabeth definitely leans towards going to new places because I'm like, oh, why don't we go to blah, blah, blah? And she's like, well, we went there. The thing is like, it's not like we did everything there. Or if you just stay like in a different neighborhood, it could be completely different. So I enjoy the novelty. That's part of the fun of travel. At the same time, I like the sort of familiar feel of going to a place that you've been before. What I don't like, this maybe kind of goes into the timeshare idea that we're going to talk about in a second, is going back to the same place year after year over and over again, and then it sort of loses the novelty. Like that's not so much fun, but I mean, we haven't been to San Diego in, I think it's been 2 years. And like I said, if we just stay like one beach different, like the whole neighborhood will be completely different. Of course, there'll be some similar stuff, but it's novel.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
I like that thought too. I do like going back to the same places and even going back once you're at that place, maybe going to a restaurant or brewery that you really enjoyed the previous time, but then at the same time, mixing novel experiences with that. When we do go to new places, thinking on it now, we plan them around friends. So it's not so much we want to go visit this place. It's that we should go visit this place because we know this person there. And I guess we do that because that gives you a little bit of familiarity. It's not like a completely novel thing. You know someone there. So that kind of follows the same concept that you're going back to a place you knew before, but not really. You still have some touchstone there because you know someone there, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, thinking back, like I drove to Alaska a few years ago. And if I did it again and went the same route, it would be a completely different experience. So even if you do the same thing, like sometimes it's such a complex trip or an interesting place where you could do things completely different, it'll be a whole different trip.
Yep.
So, all right. Next up, I think since I teased the timeshare, I'll just talk about that. So we went to a timeshare presentation in Breckenridge. I think I'm going to do a lot of content on this because I find it super interesting. We've talked about it for weeks and weeks before going, and Elizabeth got a deal, right? So it was, I think it was $100 in Breckenridge for 3 nights. So it's not free, but it's highly discounted, and we just have to go to a 90-minute timeshare presentation. My parents had a timeshare, and I like some fond memories of my childhood were like going to this timeshare in Villarica, Georgia, which is not a tourist destination, by the way. It's just like a random town, like an hour plus outside of the city. And 30 years ago, it was even more, you know, nothingness than, I mean, I'm sure there's great stuff going on. If you're listening in Villarica, no offense, just not a tourist destination. Anyway, fond memories there from my childhood. So anyway, my parents had a timeshare and they actually like had a good experience with it. Anyway, I was so interested in like the marketing aspect. Most of the books back there, or at least half the books, are like marketing books. So I'm very interested in how the sales went, and I don't think I'm very susceptible to salespeople. I'm too skeptical. I don't care if they don't like me or if I please them or whatever. And it was really cool. So we did it. Like I said, we'll do a lot more content around it. The person was very nice. I didn't feel like it was super high pressure. I think Elizabeth and I both gave off like a vibe that we don't give a fuck. Even though we were trying to be pleasant-ish. We were never rude, by the way, but I think just our body language, I even took a picture. Like the sales lady even mentioned, like, I could see this is probably not a good fit. I could see your body language, Elizabeth. Like she was just not into it, even though we knew we were just there for the fun of it. But I have some cool takeaways. Just a quick one. I heard that they can keep you there a very long time. They emphasize like, hey, we really respect your time. So we were generally running okay on time based on my understanding of her presentation. But at some point, probably like halfway through, I realized she's behind and we haven't even seen the facility yet. And I should have just said like, we want to get out of here on time. So let's speed this up. We don't need all just fucking go faster, right? Which I was just morbidly curious about how the whole process would go. And I let her take her time, but I should have rushed her along. So that was one takeaway. We were only there for 2 hours total. So it wasn't like a huge, like long day. I've heard horror stories now that I've done a little more research, but I'm going to pause for a second. There's a couple things I could tell you, but do you have any questions off the bat?
Yeah, I am super curious. Number one, I've heard, I think Physician on Fire actually had a post about this because he goes to them and he said cool. They can't keep you longer than whatever they originally told you. So when your 90 minutes is up, you could just say, hey, my 90 minutes is up. I'm leaving. Thank you. Have you heard that same thing?
Yeah. So when you sign up, there's a contract on there, right? So yeah. You're obligated for 90 minutes or whatever the time frame is. And I think in the future, I will just set a time, like I'll put my phone down and set a timer and just say, all right, like I'm watching the time and they're aware of it and I'm aware of it. The other quick thing, what other questions?
Just real curious. Chris yeah. Hutchins went to one. I was listening to his podcast, All the Hacks, a couple months ago. Did you listen to that episode or?
I didn't, no.
Okay. It was pretty interesting because he said his presentation, I think, was 3 or 4 hours long. And he said it had tremendous value. I'm thinking like $4,000 or $5,000. But he said, and he's been to these things before. It's not his first rodeo. He said with this particular one, like the presentation was so obnoxious and so horrible. He said he would have, I believe he said he would have rather paid for the whole thing than sit through this presentation. That's how terrible it was. But it sounds like you had a much better experience.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It didn't seem too high pressure overall or obnoxious. It was just like, you know, they do a couple of things to build rapport and get you to like them and make you feel like friends. And they make sure you know that they paid for the extra discount and blah, blah, blah. So they do all the normal marketing things to get you engaged and like listen to the presentation. As we've done, like I said, we talked hours and hours about it beforehand. We went with some of our friends, Sandy and Chad. They saw a presentation too. So we got to hang out like the couple of days up there, which was cool. Go with friends, people. Don't tell them that you're friends because you could see if they give you bullshit offers or like treat you differently or whatever. So don't let them know that we didn't realize that, but they knew we were friends. So we saw very similar offers, which maybe wouldn't be the case. I'll mention at least one other thing. So I was like, I'm going to record this, right? So I checked the laws here in Colorado and it's a one-party consent recording state. Did you know that?
No.
So that just means if I want to record a conversation that I'm a party in.
Oh, yes. I do know that. Like a phone conversation. You don't have to tell the other person, right?
Correct.
Got it.
Which is super cool. And I thought about threatening them and saying like, hey, I just want you to know that I can record this. It's a one party consent, blah, blah, blah. By the way, you have to consult your lawyer. This is all entertainment. Basically, like you have to be a party in the conversation. You can't like put a recorder down and record other people. You have to be actively in the conversation. Anyway, well, I got a lot of recording shit. So I brought a recorder and recorded the whole thing. So I have like, I wanted to make sure that if I quoted anything or that if I heard something that I like captured it properly. Elizabeth is super worried about like liability and stuff. So I probably am not going to play any piece of the recording where someone else is talking just to protect myself. Maybe I'll read it out or something like, oh, best of my recollection. But one party consent recording state, consult your lawyer. So super interesting, but I have the recorder I used worked great. I just had it in my Melanzana hoodie pocket.
And just to be clear, they did not know that you were recording them because of this one party consent rule.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
And the other interesting part is they do some great math, right? They're like, how much do you spend on vacations? How many years do you think you'll be vacationing? And then basically they show you how much value you're going to get from vacationing there and how much you can save. Again, I'm obsessed now. I'm doing all this research and it's just, it's not a scam, but it's just, you're not getting the value that you think you are. And there's a ton of complexity set up around it. And there's just all this other bullshit. The other big sign that it's not a good, timeshares are not good to buy is there's no value. Like people try to give them away. People can't fucking get rid of a timeshare, right? It's a thing, but people still go in and they just get seduced by the sales and the pressure and all this stuff. But I would say if you know what you're getting into and you're just like, I'm going to sit here, you don't have to answer their questions either. You could fucking sit there silent. Like a lot of people are uncomfortable with that. But if you, I mean, you could just set the timer and just be like, I'm sitting here. Do something else. Put in headphones. Like you don't have to. The thing is, Our Lady was super cool and nice, but I've heard people are very rude. And I'll move on from this in a second. But basically, there's all these horror stories where people are, they're like, oh, I'm going to do it. They start going through, they're trying to read the contract, which is like a closing document, right? It's complicated. They don't understand. They try to ask questions and the salesperson rushes them through. And then at the end of the day, they're like, oh, I want to get rid of this. I didn't understand this part. And And the companies are like, well, you should have read the contract and you should have understood it. And it's like, I tried to. You hear these people that are either unaware, either or not confident enough to like walk away. So that's the next step, Carl. I'm going to go to a presentation and I'm going to go through the contract and then I'm going to start asking questions and then I'm going to get up and leave. Do you ever do that when you bought a car where you were like, this is not a good deal. You guys are pulling crazy stuff and you leave the lot?
We almost did that when we bought our Honda Element the last time we ever bought it. No, it was the second to last time we bought a car from a dealership. We went to the F&I guy, which is a guy who tries to sell you the rust proofing and all that. Mm. He's like, how about this? How about this? I'm like, okay, if this keeps going, I'm going to leave right now. I don't want any of this. And then he shut up after that. Mm. But I was ready to leave. I didn't want to hear any of this crap. Like, I don't want anything. Just sell me the car.
Yeah, I've done it, I don't know, like 3 times or whatever. They always come running after you. You know? It's crazy. As you're pulling off, they're like, wait. There's like a million fucking car lots. Like, whatever, dude. Yeah. It's not the only car out there. So anyway, I can't wait to take it to the next level, start going through. And like I said, if you have a nice salesperson, that's cool. They're just doing their job or whatever. But some people are dicks. Yeah. So I think that's when I could explore some of these other options.
So I'm kind of curious. I know with timeshare, you know, I don't know a whole lot about them, but I know you have to pay something up front and then there's maintenance fees. And then if you want to go to a different location, there could be change fees. It sounds like you did a little bit of the math. Do you have any idea how much it would have cost you like per night to stay at this thing? And what did the thing look like and how many beds and baths, I guess?
Yeah. So we were sold either every other year. So it's 1 week. I think it was a one bedroom, small kitchen in there. And it was 30K. And if it was every year, then it would be like 50% more, something like that. So 40 plus, something like that. And the maintenance fees, which they've reframed, by the way, this company like rebranded. They're like, oh, this is not a timeshare. This is fractional ownership. And they like bury the timeshare component at the bottom. They're like, oh, you could stay here. You could do this. You could trade. You could trade in your points and then go to this other marketplace and stay at these fancy resorts and blah, 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 which potentially have fees to do that and then additional fees to actually stay there. The HOA fee is what they called the maintenance fee. So the HOA was about, I think it was about $1,000 a year. So the other weird thing is you actually can go to Airbnb and rent these places per week. So this is where it all falls apart, right? So it's, I think it was about $1,200, depending on when you're going, but about $1,200 for, I can't remember if it was 5 or 7 days. So it could have been 5 days. On Airbnb. So essentially, like you're paying about 30K to be able to go to this place for a week for $1,000 a week. And the HOA or maintenance fees, they always go up.
Yep.
Right. So that's where they get you. And at the end of the day, it's much cheaper. And it doesn't tie up like 30 or 40 or like they have huge place. They have like 4-bedroom units and stuff. And it's right on the slope. So if you ski, like I could see people getting really into that. But basically you're tying up like tens of thousands of dollars to just pay to go on vacation. It's probably about 10 to 20% cheaper for the HOA fees or maintenance fees. So it's like a tiny bit cheaper. And if you scale that out for like 30 years, it's like, oh, you could save a huge amount of money if you do this, but you're tying up like 30 or 40K.
Yeah, of course. Us finance people will immediately go, oh, if I just invested that 30,000, it would like double or triple in that amount of time or whatever.
Yeah. And then, yeah, exactly. I was like, you're illustrating this and I can see the savings, but it's just like, what's the opportunity cost to tie up that money? The other thing is, they will finance it for you. You can get financing elsewhere, but if you finance it, then the whole thing falls apart completely. But the rates that they were quoting, they're like, oh, you're pre-approved for, it's like 15.3% or something.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Crazy, huh? So it was pretty fun. And I would encourage people to test it out. Just make sure you got thick skin, go in there and set your timer for 90 minutes and get out.
Yeah. I'll follow up real quick with my one timeshare experience I actually had in Breckenridge as well. We did not go to a presentation, but we had rented like a hotel room, or we thought it was, on some site like hotels.com. And we get to this place and it turns out it was a timeshare thing. And the room was okay. Like, it was cheap. We were there to snowboard, so it was fine. We were just there to sleep. But then the really interesting thing was this place had a message board, and I can't believe they let this slide. So the whole message board was filled with these sad messages like, please take my place. You can have it. Here's my phone number. Just all you have to do is like pay the maintenance fees and like things like that. Like, for $1, you could have my timeshare. And the whole message board was this. And I can't believe the place let that go up there. I'm like, oh man, this is kind of sad and pathetic. All these people got suckered into this thing and can't get out.
Yep. Oof. Yeah. And we did a little more research like afterwards, and someone was trying to give away their timeshare at the resort we were at, and they would pay like the next year's maintenance fee.
Wow.
Which was like, for that place, it was like $2,500.
Oh.
So it was like a 2-bedroom kind of nice suite. I mean, it's super nice looking, but you could just go to Airbnb, fucking stay there, or go do whatever you want. It's like always cheaper. Like, no one wants a timeshare.
Yeah. You got to feel for these people. And real quick, one other follow up, Doug, is I've threatened to buy a place in the mountains, but it's kind of the same math you've always come back with. Well, you could just go rent the thing and not have all that overhead of owning a place and all that kind of stuff. So conversations like this make me think I will not buy a place in the mountains.
Yeah. I mean, there is something cool having your own spot, having your clothes there, and you don't have to, like, you just go. You don't have to pack, you know. Yep. The girls don't have to pack and spend 2 hours doing all that. But if it doesn't appreciate, then it's probably cheaper. And it could appreciate, but if you're like, oh, I'm not doing this as an investment, then you got the options, you got the flexibility, you could stay anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So
I think both these things, a timeshare or buying a second home, have to be for purely emotional reasons, unless the second home, you can somehow rent it out part-time and make your money back then. But that's another thing you have to worry about then.
Yep. 100%. Okay. So you talked a little bit about staying home more in 2025. Any other details on that?
Yeah, I don't think so. I just think we're going to err on the side of saying no to most things. Like, some friends suggested that we join them in the UK for a trip. I don't think we're going to do that. I thought about going to the Camp Fi that's in Spain. I decided not to do that. So maybe just default to saying no to everything. And usually summer here isn't that bad. I know we complained about the heat and the sound check, but usually summers here are pretty great, right? I think it cools off at night and it's a good time to be in Colorado. If it gets too hot, you can go to the mountains. That's beautiful too. So I think that's pretty much it. We're going to default to say no to things in 2025. Maybe some smaller things, maybe the Camp Fi, Rocky Mountain. Other than that, I think we're going to stay home.
Yeah, I like it. The thing is, there's always, you know, fun stuff that pops up. So if you have an open schedule, then you're able to do it. But yeah, it's been nice to turn down the travel a little bit this year.
Yeah, cool.
So for me, I have a little new member of my family, a new phone. So I had an iPhone 10, which was 7.5 years old, and I used the hell out of it. Somehow didn't drop it or break the screen or any sort of damage or anything like that. But eventually, Carl, this is crazy. I've never had a phone do this. So basically the glass screen like started to come off. So I don't know if the battery was bulging a little bit, but basically I noticed the screen was popping out a little bit and I was like, hey, wait a second. So I took it out of the pretty minimal case and yeah, you could see like the electronic guts in there and everything. And I was like, I think it's time to go ahead and retire this one. So 7.5 years, that's pretty good.
Man, that is super good. I would say you're like a 0.1 percenter as far as that. Like, there's people who trade in phones every year just because they want the new thing. I don't think that's most people, but 7.5 years, you never dropped it? Like, no new screens, nothing? No. How about a new battery? Did you have a new battery during that time? Or
no. No, it's original battery. And you have seen me struggle charging it occasionally. So the one thing that happened, I think it was only after like 3 years, the charging port stopped working. Like, it was a little funny for maybe like a few months, and then it totally stopped working. But it is modern enough that it had like the wireless charging. Ah, nice. So that's why I was always carrying around like a battery pack or something like that. But yeah, for like 5 years or so, I was doing that, just wireless charging.
At which iPhone did you get to replace it with?
So I got a 14 Pro. So it has a little 3 cameras on there. Thing is, that is like a couple years old. So I think that came out at the end of 2022. So it's not actually available from Apple anymore. Cause I was like, if I keep a phone for 7 years, like, I'm okay to splurge and get like the latest and greatest. But as I looked at the specs, and shout out to our friends, Matt and Joel, they've talked about getting refurbed phones and like, which phone should I get and all that in a few episodes. So that was fresh on my mind. And I looked at the specs on a 14 Pro and a 15 Pro, and it's virtually the same. Like, it's, there's like one extra GPU core. Like, it goes from 4 to 5, and I'm like, I'm like, it doesn't matter. My phone's so fucking old. Like, anything new is going to be dramatically better. So I went with a 14 Pro, only available refurbished or used or something like that. So I got it refurbed from Apple.
Okay.
You can get refurb phones from Amazon, but How to Money, those guys mentioned that they got one from Amazon and something was off on it and they had to return it. So I was like, I've gotten refurb computers before. Apple's pretty solid. They put it in a new battery. They clean it up or whatever. So that's what I got.
Yeah, I would trust Apple over a secondary site as well. And you know, it's probably going to be good in the first place, but if there was an issue, Apple is going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, normal 1 year warranty. I save at least $250 for, you know, what I was looking for, getting the older one and then refurbed and all that stuff. So I would check that out if people are interested. Yeah.
And this is a 14 Pro. Is the 15 the current iteration of iPhone?
Yep. And I think the 16 might come out this fall, like in a few months.
Okay. So you're probably planning to buy the 20 or 21 or whatever.
Yeah. However long this baby lasts, or maybe phones will be a thing of the past, you know, by the time I need a new one.
Okay. One last follow-up. I like having a modern phone just for the photography. Do you take lots of photos with your phone?
I do. Pretty good amount. I have like DSLRs that I tend to use a little bit more, but the thing is, you always have your phone on you. So if we're like on a trip or something like that, you know, you always have a phone with you. And they take such good photos.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty good upgrade from, you know, the 7-year-old technology that I was using before.
I'm thinking about getting an iPhone just because I do think they take the best pictures. Like, whatever post-processing they do is excellent. Like, I have a new Pixel, and my kid has an older iPhone, maybe 3 or 4 generations. And we took pictures of the same thing, and I thought the iPhone was a little bit better.
Okay. Yeah, and you tried an iPhone for a short stretch, right?
I did. I think I'm going to go back to it. The reason I didn't stick with it is, at the time, the voice, I can't see anything, Doug. My eyes are old. I'm an old man, as you know. I use the voice to text a lot, and it did not work well. And I don't, do you ever use that feature? And if so, does it work better now?
I don't use it too often, but it seemed good enough. You should just go with it. Cause like, I think the comic relief of you sending a text, cause it's mostly for text, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's funnier if you just send weird messages back.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So it was laggy was the issue, but the thing with a Pixel is I try to speak super clear. Like, sometimes I mumble, I talk real fast, but with a phone, I try to talk slow and clear, and it still messes up my words. And there was one, I kind of look up what it was, but it substituted the word sex for something else. And yeah, it was a very weird message. I think it was to my kid too. I'm like, Claire, it was the phone. It wasn't me.
Why were you sending sex? Why did you say sex to when you're Actually, let's move on. I think it's funnier if you don't answer that.
So, Doug, I have a question before we get to our next thing. I know from previous episodes that you try to, I don't know what the word is, like you experiment on me by leaving weird things at the desk where we record. You left this fidget spinner. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm demonstrating the fidget spinner. And now I come down here and there is a brochure from apparently Performance Lab, and it says, upgrade yourself. I'm holding this up if you're watching on YouTube, and it looks like maybe beauty products or something. Are you trying to give me a, I'm going to look through this now. It looks like they have energy thing. Oh, multi Nutrigenesis, multi for men. I don't know what that is. They've got one for women here. Caffeine, vision. I could probably use that. Flex. Is this a message for me, Doug?
Yeah, there's some hair potion in there that I've been applying.
Nice.
All over my head. No, that company is now getting a little free ad. They actually sent me a sample, and I'm going to do a video on it for my other channel, like a nootropic. And they sent me some multivitamins too. It looks like high quality stuff.
Okay. Good luck with the hair experiment.
That's a joke. I don't know if they have that, but I'm too far gone. Whatever supplements they have, it's too late for me. Well, speaking of ads, we do have GhostBed sponsoring today, and we're going to talk a little bit more about fitness and how I hurt my back. But before we get to that, I'm curious. So we talk about like sleeping on the road. It's always tough. You're changing locations and all that. But do you bring an eye mask, Carl?
I don't, but I am intrigued. I saw this on the notes and I actually went out and bought one before our current trip, but it was weird. Like it didn't fit well. It had these weird puffy circles. So I used it one night. It was uncomfortable and strange. So I ditched it. So I'm pretty curious to hear about your eye mask experiment and what kind you bought.
So I had an old one from REI, just like their normal travel mask. There's a little pouch in there for earplugs too. So it's great for travel.
Nice.
And I've had it for a very long time. It works pretty good, but I think I'm, you know, as long as it's tight enough on my head, because I'll tend to like push it off or something like that. You know, I thrash around and everything. Falling asleep, not too big of a deal in our house here because it's fairly dark, but in the morning the sun rises so early that I often like wake up like way too early and then can't fall back asleep. But I started wearing the eye mask and it has been dramatic. So I'm able to sleep till, you know, 6 or so instead of like 4:30. And I don't know, do you wake up when the sun rises? Is that your thing?
Yes, it drives me crazy. And unless you get the blackout curtains perfect, there's always going to be some sun that gets in and then you detect it and poof, you're up.
In the Breckenridge spot that we were staying, we were in a unit that had a bunch of windows, which was kind of nice, except for all the lights at night. So there were external illumination all around. So it was super bright, but I had my mask and I slept much better. So yeah, I would figure out like what is comfortable for you. And, you know, you may have to test a few out.
Okay. I do have a new mask, which I'm going to try when we room together in Breckenridge. And this might be a little awkward, Doug, depending on where we are, but it's got like these googly eye things. So if I'm like on my side facing you, you're going to look over and it's going to be like, I'm staring at you with these googly eyes.
I'll have my mask on. I won't even know. That's a good design though. We could do some Mile High Fi eye masks. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. That'll be our next product.
All right. And GhostBed, they actually have a full suite of products. So they have mattresses, of course, and you can go through their questionnaire to see which mattress works for you. They have soft ones, they have fluffy ones, full range. They have the bed frames and they have accessories. They have sheets, all that stuff. I don't know if they have eye masks, so we could take a look on that, but
we should have our own private label line within GhostBed with eye masks. Maybe they want to get into some of the lubricant products that we've talked about. It goes with bed stuff, I think.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll keep this ad pristine. So I was going to go deeper into the lubricant stuff, but I think we've gone far enough on that. And
probably too far.
Yeah. So in GhostBed, they're family-owned. That's why we got to keep these ads a little bit cleaner. They have over 60,000 five-star reviews and patented sleep and cooling technology. And that's one of the, you know, prime things that's so important for Carl and I. just have that nice cool bed. All right. They have a 101 night at home sleep trial and a 20-year warranty. You can save 50% site wide. Go to ghostbed.com/milehighfi.
One thing that's interesting is the ghost bed has become a little bit of a tourist attraction in my home. Mark Troutman was staying with us and he ended up staying at our rental house, but he was disappointed because he's like, okay, I'm looking forward to sleeping on the ghost bed. I really want to try this thing out. I hear you talk about it on the podcast and he didn't get a chance to, but I did try it out myself, which I hadn't yet. I took a nap on it in the cool basement. Yeah, it's nice. I like it. If you're a hot sleeper, I would recommend it.
And you could feel the coolness of the mattress, right?
It's a little bit firmer than the memory foam. Like the bed I normally sleep on, you sink into. So this is a little bit firmer, so you don't have as much surface contact with the mattress. So it definitely was cooler because of that. But yeah, I think the mattress in general was just cooler as well.
All right. Well, let's move on to how I tweaked my back. So I lift weights occasionally and I was just going in for a super light day. It was sort of an off day. And I was like, I'm just going to go to the gym. I'm going to do some bent barbell rows. About half the weight is what I would normally do. And as I was leaning down, so imagine sort of a deadlift type, you know, your knees are bent a little bit. I'm hunched over. You know, I'm trying to keep my back, you know, straight, but I guess I didn't engage my core or something like that. So anyway, I'm not doing any, again, very lightweight, doing these rows, and I'm just setting the barbell back onto the rack. And then I just felt it like pull in my back, the muscle just sort of pulled. And I've done it before. It's been a pretty long time, at least a year. But as soon as it happened, I was like, oh no. And it got a little worse the next day. Then it got a little bit better. And then about 3 days later, I could like barely move. I'm not sure what I did to it, but I like essentially just like sat around the house. I tried to walk because I know it's better to like sort of stay active versus just like don't move. So it's pretty much, I would say like 90% better, but I'm not going to do any sort of lifting until it's 100%. As far as like with my back or deadlifts or anything like that. But yeah, I was like, this is horrible. And it was like, it would spasm. Oof. Like when I tried to move certain ways, like my whole back would seize up. It's crazy.
So just to be clear, you did not injure yourself when you were actually doing the exercise. The injury came from when you were putting the barbell back on the rack.
Yep.
Okay. How heavy was it?
95 pounds.
Okay. That's substantial. I was going to make fun of you, but that's good.
Yeah. And like I said, it was like not, it's what I would like warm up with or something. I was just like, oh, I'm just going to get the blood flowing a little bit. Again, it was an off day. Have you pulled your back like that before?
I have, but I was going to say kind of the same thing. I don't think I've ever injured myself when actually working out. I injured myself. Like one time I sneezed and then my back hurt. Like what the heck? Or you sleep on it funny and then your back hurts. And one time I was going really hard on the treadmill and somehow I screwed it up, but I've never, like I do deadlifts all the time. I just did a bunch this morning and my back feels fine. So I don't understand it.
I don't know. Yeah. And I was doing... Yeah, it could have been like the cumulative like workout because I had worked out hard the previous days. I don't know, but one of those things where it's just like when you do it, I'm like, okay, it's much better to do less weight and like leave more in the tank, especially when I pulled it doing half the weight. Anyway, it was pretty sad. I feel much better now. The other dumb thing is I played pickleball, been playing more pickleball, and... Shout out to Eric and Van, played with them the next day, like right after hurting it. I was like, it feels okay. Like it'll be good for me to move around. After 20 minutes or so, like it tweaked again. And I was like, I think I'm all right. And I kept playing for another, you know, rest of the hour. Huh. And basically that made it worse, I think.
Cool. It sounds like you're getting old, a back injury, pickleball, like mm-hmm. What's next? V8, is that what an old person's drink?
Yeah, it was like walking sideways. You remember those commercials? And then they would have the V8 and they like turned upright. You remember this?
No.
No, you don't?
Huh. Sounds great though.
Yeah. All right, what do we have next here? You've been trying to work out a little bit.
Yeah, we had this epic road trip, which we talked about. And one of the things that drives me nuts is whenever I do that, I always let my fitness go off the rails. So I eat poorly and I don't maintain my routine. So this time I tried to maintain it better, and I tried to maintain it by bringing my own equipment. So I brought a kettlebell, a pull-up bar, and what else? Oh, barbells, dumbbells in the back of my car. So we took the Tesla on this road trip, and you got to sit there for like 20 minutes and charge every once in a while. So I'd break out the kettlebell or the pull-up bar, which you can also do push-ups and be doing those exercises in the parking lot. And I was there with my kids, and they were like, "Dad, you can't do this. This is the most embarrassing thing ever." I'm like, "Dude, everyone else is just looking at their phone. They don't even see what I'm doing. Like, stop it, Dad. You can't do it." And I'm like, "No, I'm not going to stop it. This is good. I'm being fit. You should be happy for me." So they were not a fan, but I was able to maintain my fitness. But it's hard because we stayed in hotels, and hotels usually have crappy gyms, right? Like, especially the Hyatts or Marriotts, they'll have a rack of dumbbells, and then they'll have like a couple cardio machines and maybe a bench where you can do your curls or whatever, but no way to do pull-ups or any kind of lat pull down, or hard to do tricep exercises. So at one of the hotels, I found like a stairwell that had a little overhang so I could jump on there and do my pull-ups. So I think I did maintain my routine for the most part, but you definitely had to be creative, and I definitely had to severely embarrass my children.
That's a great idea. I thought you were going to say you brought this stuff and then you hardly used it, but if you had like a cue of like charging, then it's perfect.
Yes. And like when I was staying with Eric in Louisville, however you say that word, he was like, "Yeah, I've got a Planet Fitness thing. I think I can get you in there." And it was a little bit of an ordeal, but then he was able to get me in there. So I was able to work out there. Leaf, Physician on Fire, had a really nice gym in his house, so I was able to get my workout in there. Not quite the same as your home gym where you're used to the equipment. Like Leaf, he had this pull-up bar like way up in the closet, so you kind of had to jump up to grab this thing, and it was a little bit awkward, but I was still able to get my workout in. So it was great. Tried to eat better, order salmon at restaurants instead of cheeseburgers for the most part. And
okay.
That still suffers a little bit because it's hard to eat healthy on the road, man, right? Yeah.
So hard.
You stop and charge to the gas station, and they've got all that food on like those rollers and like hot dogs and just garbage. You can't get like a nice poke bowl at the Quick Stop or Bucky's.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to get one there either.
No, that's probably a very bad idea.
Yeah. So, and I found, well, it depends on the length of the trip, but depending on what's going on. And I guess it sort of fit because I went to Winter Park when my family was in town, and then we had Camp Fi, and that was basically a week of not working out. So leading up to it, I work out pretty hard, and then I'll basically take the week off. So usually there's a trip or something, and it's good to take a break occasionally, and I make sure to force it when I can't work out. So that's my current method. But if I do the slow travel thing, then a month is a long time to not do anything.
Yeah. I don't like letting it go at all if I can help it. Like, you can always do pull-ups or a push-up somewhere. You could do pull-ups. You could find like a playground to do them on the monkey bars, although the kids' parents might look at you a little weird. There's always a way to work out on the road. You know, a lot of towns have those like fitness courses, outdoor fitness things. And I always try to find that. So yeah, I don't like to let it go at all. It's too easy to break a habit, even at least for me, even after a week. So I got to stay on it.
Got it. Cool. And it sounds like since you were eating relatively well, like you didn't put on weight like some other trips that we've done in the past.
Yeah, I actually did put on weight. I thought I did better, and I probably did better than I would have normally, but yeah, there was still some weight gain that I'm still recovering from.
You drink more, you eat more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But. Okay. Okay, what's next? You noted new gym. What is that?
Yeah, do you know what the Climbing Collective here is in Longmont?
Yeah, climbing gym, right?
Yeah, and they have a pretty legit like weight room and equipment. They have classes there, and they were looking for investors. They're building out a new facility in Greeley, and if you invested with them, you got a free membership, actually a family membership. So I just joined that. Actually, I got to go this week and get set up with the membership, but I have invested in them. And now I have a new gym, which is really nice because the rec center, like I was there yesterday, and so crowded. I think it was probably more people than I've ever seen before. Like, there was a traffic jam on the running track, just crazy. And the people walk in the left lane. Like, dude, it says only runners in the left lane. And I don't know, people don't follow the directions. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, yeah. It's so close. I could walk to it. So even if I had a fantastic gym that I had to drive to, it's more likely for me to just walk to this inferior gym. So you invested in Climbing Collective?
Yes.
Gotcha. Is this like a timeshare situation where you paid like tens of thousands of dollars and you could have just joined the gym for $100 or whatever?
I hope not. I hope I get all my money back at the end of this. It seems like they're doing really well, especially their one in Longmont. Tons of members there. It's a great facility too. You should check it out sometime.
It's too far. It's like 2 miles away.
Yeah, that
is. It does look nice. It looks super nice.
Yeah.
I've heard really good things. Do you guys climb at all? Do you care?
Not yet, but I'm going to since now I have a free membership there. I think I'm going to do more of the bouldering where you're not attached to the pulley and all that. You could just go up like a 10-foot wall. Yeah, I'll tweak my back by next week.
Yeah, don't tweak your back. That's cool. Yeah, it looks like a good facility. It's good to invest in the local companies and all that stuff.
So yeah. Yep.
Support it. All right. And finally, we're talking about the stock market here. So we're recording this on August 6th. And I know, Carl, you pay attention to the stock market a little more than me. What's happening?
I did. I've got a pretty semi-vulgar story. I have to paint a picture for you, Doug. Yesterday morning before the stock market opened, I was doing my morning business. I was in the bathroom and there happened to be a tablet there. So I picked it up and looked at stock futures and everything was down like 10% in the pre-market. Like, holy cow, look at that. And the first one I checked was Tesla. I'm like, oh, Elon Musk probably just did something stupid, which he does all the time now. But then I looked at other ones and they were all like minus 10%. I'm like, holy cow, that's not good. But then I think by the end of the day yesterday, everything was down like 3%, maybe like the S&P 500 was down 3%. And I don't even know what caused it. I guess I should care more. Maybe there's a lesson in that. It might've been something to do with the Nikkei, Japan. I think as of today, we should have looked before we recorded. I guess we can pull it up right now, but I think today's an update, so it's probably not back to where it was before market opened yesterday, but everyone was going nuts. I remember I looked at my Twitter feed, and they're like, the Fed has to do an emergency rate cut right now, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I see the S&P 500 is up almost 2% as of recording right now. So it's all about pretty much nothing.
I did remember seeing a headline over the weekend that Buffett was selling like half the position in Apple, right?
Yes. Yep.
So there was like that. And then, and I, by the way, I didn't do any research, but I watched like a video or two. And then I was like, this is just like, this is noise. Obviously we're me more than you, but like index fund investors in for the long haul. These are just expected rocky roads every whatever, 18 months or year or whatever. There's a recession, a pretty bad recession every 10 years or so. And it's just noise.
Yeah, I actually looked it up. In the past 10 years, there's been about 7 corrections, which is a downturn of 10%. So these things happen. This is the price you pay for better growth. If you want linear, super stable, non-volatile growth, you put your money in a CD or money market fund or bonds or whatever. If you want to beat that, then you put your money in a stocks, and volatility is the price you pay for that. Yeah, I saw that Berkshire News. I think they have $270 billion in cash now or something like that. Everyone's wondering what they're going to do with that. Yeah, you should have bought a new phone. Maybe he wouldn't have sold half the Apple stock if you would have supported Apple a little bit more, Doug.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, but the tough part, chatting with just like people that I bump into and during my day, like the news in the 24-hour news cycle, it's just like the sky is falling. And I mean, it's great that I don't pay much attention, but people get really freaked out. And they don't have any concept. They're out there buying timeshares or something like that. I don't know.
This brings up another part for our book. I actually took a note here, lazy investing. I'm going to add a little snippet about that because the best kind of investing is the lazy investing where you're not paying attention. You're not trying to outsmart things. You just sit there, let it do its thing, and
just wait.
Yeah, leave your money in there. It's going to write itself.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
Oh, let's look at our outline. I don't think so. I look forward to trying the eye mask. You said REI for that. I might go check that one out. And yeah, I think that's it.
We covered everything. All right. Perfect. Cool. Well, I don't know what we're going to record next. We're doing this by the seat of our pants, but we're going to be out in Breckenridge before too long, which will be fun. And I think, I don't know if we'll record. I had an idea to like bring recorders while we're driving out there or something like that.
Okay.
Mic us up. And we talk about dumb stuff when we're driving, but I think that could be fun.
It could be good. And maybe even bring them there. Maybe we'll actually have an intelligent, coherent conversation while we're in Breck.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right. We'll catch you next time.
Cool. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast. And I'm Doug Cunnington, the Balder host, and Carl Jensen is the cool, sexy one. If you dig the show, please do three things for us. Number one, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number two, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer. This show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. Carl and I are just two guys with microphones that sit in my basement and talk. So we'll catch y'all next week. It's been warm. This morning I went to walk Georgie and it was already like 66 degrees. How do you feel about the heat?
I feel horrible about it, Doug. I know we just talked about the road trip in the episode, but we were on a road trip and a lot of time we spent was in northern Michigan and the high there was like 73 or 74. And I remember when I was there, I looked at the temperature in Longmont and it was like 99 or 100. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Mindy and I were actually arguing about this. I don't think we usually have a day that hits 100 in Longmont. Like I felt we've gone whole summers without doing that, or maybe just one or two. And this season we've had multiple of them, like at least 10 probably. And it's been, when it hasn't been that, it's been super high 90s. So I hate heat. Like I'm fine with 50 degrees in a t-shirt. Yeah, you can only take off so many clothes when it gets hot without getting in trouble.
Yeah, I don't remember. I haven't been here as long as you. I think it does hit 100 like every summer, like pretty like regularly, but I've only been here 5 years. And I was going to say, even in Montana, there were a couple of days where it would be like 99, 100 degrees, always cooler up there, obviously. But yeah, I hate the heat as well. The basement is fantastic. Like we keep our home pretty cool. It's like 75 upstairs. It's about 10 degrees cooler here. It is 67 right now down here and feels pretty good. Feels pretty good. I hate it. I sweat a lot.
Yeah, me too. Your basement does feel good. I might just stay down here after we're done recording and I'll vacate when we have a day under 80, which I guess might come this week, actually, which will be super nice.
Yeah, yeah. And so you prefer like the cooler weather. Is there like if it didn't get over whatever 65 degrees, would that put you out at all? Like, do you enjoy the heat at any point in time?
We have a pool, so it's actually kind of nice for the heat to go in the pool. But what I don't like, and I know you struggle with this too, is sleeping in the heat. The way our house is set up, we're on the second floor and it's a weird split level and our room faces south and we've got this huge window. So our room just heats up more than any other room. Like our basement will be in the 60s. And then our room, if we didn't turn the air conditioning on, would be at least 20 degrees hotter. So this huge differential. So I've actually installed a separate AC unit just for our bedroom to supplement the main one.
Oh, wow. And is it like, it's not a window unit situation, is it? Or is it like an external?
It sits on the floor, but it's got a hose that exhausts out the window. So I guess it is sort of a window unit, but not the old big rectangle that you might be thinking of.
In Montana, we didn't have AC in our place. So actually, at some point in the summer, I was like, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. So I got one of those. Actually, I got one and then I think I got another for another room too. And like my office was like cool. But yeah, yeah. It's like one of those on wheels and you could, yep. Yeah, it's great. Those work pretty good.
Yeah, the heat sucks. I think in future years, I'm going to head to the mountains like post children. I'll just get the hell out of here for like July and August and maybe part of September.
That's what we talked about. We were actually just up in Breckenridge, and you and I are going again soon. So yeah, we're close enough where we can get up high elevation. It was in the 40s. It was like 42 one morning, 44 the other. It was great. I was like, I had to bring pants.
Man, that's crazy. That's glorious.